thanks for listening and subscribing to Learning More. It's Russ with you. You know, funny thing, a little embarrassing, actually, in sort of a way. I don't know if this should be embarrassing or not. The pickleball show that I did last week to kick off the other podcast that I'm producing. Okay, I was like, you know what? I didn't listen to the show. I put it all together. I edited it, but I haven't actually heard it all together with the music and everything. So I was out the other night and had my windows down because it was a nice night, and I put on the podcast, and I'm sitting there in my podcast with, like, I'm sorry, in my car with my podcast on and the windows down, the moonroof open, and I'm cruising along, stopping at stop signs and whatnot. And then I just started thinking, well, I'm kind of embarrassed that I'm listening to my own podcast while I went through the, and then I'm like, wait, you know what? Nobody knows that it's me on this podcast. I'm going to turn it up. So if you heard some weird guy in San Rafael, California, listening to a podcast loudly in their car, that was me. But it was a cool one. And it's kind of fun to like hear this whole produced podcast as I'm rolling along the roads and checking things out, because it's a little bit weird. I'm used to now listening to it at home because now I work from home yet again. There was a while where I was commuting and all of that stuff, but now I'm back with a company called Beeswax. I'm the director of marketing over there. That's what I do by day, for those of you wondering. And it's so much fun working there and getting back. I was there about 6 months ago. I left for about 6 months. I came back, and I've got quite the to-do list, and there's so much to do that I could be working on. But should I be working on it? that's the big question. That's what we're going to be talking about today. This whole like work from home thing, and whether you own a business or you're working for somebody, whatever it is, you've got to have still a little bit of separation. How do you do the things you like? How do you make time for that? But also, how do you get the work done? So that's our topic today. And that is what we are going to learn more about today. And to do so, I have a coach. Would you say you're a life coach, Joey, or are you a business coach? Because I don't know, going through your website, I think you're more of a life coach.
Well, I'm more so really a mindset, master mindset coach, like everything, whether it's personal or business. Even business coaching is personal transformation.
I love that. Okay, so, you know, I just went right into it and just pulled you right into this podcast, Joey. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone.
Mention your website, do all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Joey Drillshagen, and I've spent the last 30 years really, like, I've been through corporate America. I've been in jobs I hate and can't stand, and I, you know, from early on, and I the fear held me there longer than anything else. The fear and the paycheck, really, what held me there way beyond when I should have left there. But I held on anyways, and a lot of people do that. And I finally had some situations happen. Over the last 15 years, I developed a method called the SMT method, which is really about bringing that mindset into alignment, the conscious, subconscious, all that conditioning that's within the subconscious mind, and like this, what I call a motherboard, is really what determines the actions we take and the actions we don't take. It literally fires the brainwaves to take actions and which ones to take and which ones not to take. And it's all based on our conditioning. And once I understood that, Russ, it took me about a month to put together the organization and everything of the IFGT Corporation. And the IFGT stands for it's frickin' go time, not frickin'.
I love it.
And within 6 months or within 3 months of there, I resigned from a vice president of sales from from the corporate world and moved down to South Carolina in the mountains. And I've been just, you know, going forward ever since, going into it. It's stepping into that fear.
Okay, so we gotta dig into this. But I'm gonna ask you this too, though.
Yeah.
My problem isn't that I dislike my jobs. I generally love my jobs. It's so much fun. And I've had people call me a bit of a workaholic just because I get in there and I just I want to keep going. It's this just drive to do something else. I ran my own business for 13 years. And during that time, I think I probably would work, I don't know, maybe it was probably 24 hours a day, really, because I'm just always thinking about it. But I mean, I was in an office at my home office for probably 13 hours a day in some cases, right? Like, you know, like maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it was like those long days, and then I would kind of tailor back a little bit. But I was always, always working, and I just loved my job. So this also, I'm assuming, applies to people like us, like me. It just loves my job and wants to keep going.
Oh, absolutely. And even with that, you know, I was really good at what I did in corporate America. I built you know, billion-dollar territories and things like that. I helped multiple organizations go from bankruptcy back into profitability mm-hmm. within months, and I had a lot of success in doing that. I had the paycheck. I just didn't have the passion for it. If I had to be in the office for two days in a row after 5 p.m., I was exhausted, defeated, beat up, tired, angry, all that other stuff.
Right.
I'll be here. I have a studio right next to where I'm sitting here, and I'll be in the studio till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, Russ.
Mm-hmm.
And I leave and I can't go to sleep. I'm so wired up and excited.
Yeah.
It's the difference between living in what we're passionate about and living for a paycheck to support our families and think, put a roof over the head and things like that. And one of the things PC, pre-COVID, is everybody went to the office, right? A majority of people went to the office. I mean, the numbers are staggering how much it's increased with people working from home, and everybody wants to work from home. And that's great, but there's challenges with that. That impedes on freedoms that we had when we went home.
Right.
And how we handle that makes all the difference in the world, whether that we stay excited and love with what we do and all of that, or we start getting burned out and tired and we can't walk past, you know, the desk without peeking at the emails and such.
Oh, yeah. That's what one of the things that I did this time was, because the first time I did this, it was like the office was in a place where I'm walking by all the time. Yeah. The way that I set up the office here, I am in a spot that I don't walk by all the time. I don't have to even come to this area of the house unless I'm going into this office or going out into the garage.
Nice.
It works out really well. However, like Slack and all of these different things follow me on my watch, on my phone. It's omnipresent, right? Now, I've done some things with the notifications so they go off after a certain time and things like that. But that's another thing that is always hitting us as well when we're working from home, is those just constant interruptions coming to us without us even having to go to them, which is – it's just crazy how much we have to deal with nowadays.
And we've built that into our life to be that way. I mean, I don't laugh, but like I see so many people. So, you know, I make sure I keep balance in my life. I hang glide, I fish, I motorcycle, I do things that I enjoy doing. And I make sure I reserve time. I block time to do those things. So I keep that balance. I have a son. It's spending time with him and I talking on the phone and getting together and such. Like, those things are important to me to do, you know, with getting together with family and such. But what happens so often is we get so tied into that. And it's conditioning. We get so tied into our comfort zone and living through our comfort zone that we're sitting on the couch, we're watching a good movie, and all of a sudden we pick up our phone and we're reading mm-hmm. emails for work, or we're text messaging, or
reading,
catching up on the news, or whatever the happenings are that's going on and stuff. It's not like this in other countries, like it is in the United States, prevalent as the United States, where we are conditioned to work harder. And here's what's happening right now in our world. Is the people that are working harder, the people that are taking the massive efforts and putting in exhaustive hours and doing all that stuff for us, they're actually getting less and less and less results. And so I'm able to come in and help people very quickly to start bringing about change, because I'm having them slow down. Mm-hmm. And when we have things like our imagination, our intuition, those are part of our mental faculties that we're born with, but we shut those down to live through our strategic mind, you know, to live through what we think is best, and strategizing and figuring it out and having to make it happen. That's all conditioning stuff that's really causing less and less results and taking more and more effort to get that way.
All of this stuff is a choice, you know, like me picking up the phone while watching Netflix, or me looking at my watch, or to make that choice to really do the thing that's probably not that healthy for me. So I'm leading down that path of like making these sort of, you know, bad choices by looking at work email at you know, when it's family time or whatever it is.
When you talked about that with, you know, it's a choice. I have a choice whether I pick up my phone or not.
Right.
A majority of people will pick up that phone because they feel guilty if they have the thought to and not. They'll start feeling guilty. They'll start feeling like they're not doing enough. They'll start feeling like they're not giving it their all. They'll start feeling all those feelings. That's all in that subconscious conditioning that sends those triggers that says you're being lazy, or you're being, you know, you're not a good employee, or you're not doing enough, or you're not this, or you're not. That's all in that conditioning. So although we do have a choice, that conditioning will override and make it look like we don't even have a choice but to live this way. Which is why a lot of people live in the muck of life. They live below where they want to be in life. They don't experience their desires at the level they want, all because of that subconscious conditioning that's driving those brain waves and clicking on what actions to take and not take. So think if you're that person and you're sitting there and you have a thought of, oh, I'm snuggled up with my honey and I'm watching this great movie. Oh man, I wonder if I got that email from Bill. That subconscious conditioning will kick that, trigger that brainwaves to grab your phone and look. Some people do it unconsciously. They don't even realize that they're doing it.
Like, where does that training come from? Is that just our own voices from year after year? Or is that like, what is that?
It starts at the day we're born. You know, our conditioning is not our fault because we didn't get to choose the conditioning we had, right? It started at our birth. It went through our parenting. It went through our siblings. It went to school with us. Every place that we've ever been, even to this conversation you and I are having, is programming at a subconscious level as we go forward. Our experiences we've had. And that's why a lot of people are stuck in a bad time they had. And they just keep playing that over, their subconscious plays it over and over and over and over and over again. And their whole thing of life is the fear of not going back there again.
Right.
So they never really achieve what they truly want. They just try to stay away from that, which by trying to stay away from it, you're putting focus there and you're bringing more of those experiences about without even recognizing it.
Okay. So we sort of presented this problem and you've got this solution, the SMT training. Let's get into that a little bit and try to help us out.
So the SMT method, it's really, so when you look at our total mind, we have a conscious mind, right? The words we use, the thoughts we entertain, people we hang out with, books we read, all that's in the conscious mind. We have a choice over that. The subconscious mind, all it does is absorbs whatever the conscious mind is focused on. So somebody who's focused on not having enough money, somebody who's focused on not having a great relationship, somebody who's focused on can't stand their job, they're feeding that to the subconscious. In the subconscious, there's this motherboard of all of our programming, our patterns, our paradigms, which are really our habits, our conditioning, that lives within there. And it just plays those tapes over and over and over. And that's that little voice we hear in our head when we think about, oh, I wonder if Bill sent me that email. And that voice is going, check, go check, check now, check, 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 check and see, check and see, check and see, you know, and it just keeps going. And that's what that is. It's coming from the subconscious. We don't have a choice over that voice in our subconscious. The only potential we have is to shift that conditioning at a subconscious level, and then we can start experiencing life differently. We can hear those voices and we have the power to say no. And eventually where we get to with that, Russ, is we have the power where we don't even hear that voice anymore.
Nice. Okay, so this is all based on research. I don't want to turn this into like, you know, an infomercial here, but I do want to know how this has worked for some of your clients.
I met a gentleman about a year and a half ago. His name was Brian. And when I first met Brian, Russ, I thought I was going to need a dictionary to talk to this guy. Like, just by his vocabulary, I was like, oh. But after about 20 minutes of talking to him, I realized this guy's entire life was mediocre. He had his own business. He was barely scraping by. He was married for like 16 years. And it wasn't that they just coexisted, but she ran the roost. You know what I mean? Like whatever she said went. He had two kids that were kind of like, you know, his relationship with them was, Dad, give me $5. Dad, give me $10. You know, and it was that kind of relationship. He was even in a band. And to listen to him talk about it, it was like nothing. I mean, in talking to him, so we decided to start working together. In the third week we worked together, this came out, and he had no idea and no remembrance of it until we were going through the SMT method, Russ. Is through the process, he realized, it came out that when he was 8 years old, so he was in the third grade, he went to a brand new school. He had to do assessment testing to test. So the first day of class, everybody goes in, goes to their class. Now, this is the first day at this school in the third grade. He goes to the principal's office. And his principal takes his test results and says, oh, Brian, look at this. You're in the eighth grade reading. You're in college mathematics. Like all his curriculums were real high. He said, man, I'm really proud to have you here. Take this and go to your classroom. So now this eight-year-old boy walks down to his classroom, opens the door, interrupts the class, right, because everybody's sitting down, and walks in and hands the teacher this piece of paper. And the teacher looks at it and goes, oh, look at this. Brian's in the eighth grade reading. He's in college mathematics, and starts berating this little eight-year-old child in front of the classroom.
Wow.
And ends it with, I guess Brian should be teaching this class, and gives it to him and sends him to his seat.
Wow.
That little boy spent that whole year being ridiculed, picked on, bullied, teased, by these new classmates that he had no idea who any of them were that first day. Within that 8-year-old's little brain, he decided the way to protect himself is to shut that down and don't ever let anybody see how his academic, you know, potential within him. Russ, when I met him, he was 54 years old. And he had gone from, man, it gives me goosebumps. He had gone from 8 years old to 54 years old, keep maintaining that promise to himself.
Wow.
So once we identified that, we were able to shift that. And over the next 3 weeks, Brian called me at least twice a week with these breakthroughs he was having. One time he called me and he goes, Joey, you're not going to believe this. And I go, what's going on, Brian? I love to get your calls. And he goes, I was talking, my wife and I were talking and she said something and I disagreed with her. But instead of doing what I normally do where I go, you know, yeah. He said, no, I don't agree with that. And he told her why. And he said, I was really nervous. And she looked at me and she said, that was so hot. Over the next few months, Brian rebuilt, he built a relationship with each of his children. He ended up with, by the end of that year, he doubled his business and they ended up asking to be on boards and things like that to help other businesses doing what he did to grow their business quicker like he had done.
Nice.
So when I talk about when we identify what that is in the subconscious conditioning and then shift that, we open up such amazing doors. And he's one of almost 1,000 clients that I've had over the last decade.
Did he know that was the cause or did you have to do some digging in order to get
to that cause? We go through the entire SMT method, and I'll tell you, like over, I said it was 18 years, but it's actually been almost 3 decades. And I was my guinea pig through that process. And it took years of study, tens of thousands of dollars in coaching and programs and all kinds of stuff, multiple certifications and what I do and everything else to get to the point of understanding that subconscious. But once I understood that, then the pieces of it all came together. And whether I'm working with an individual, or an organization or a corporation, I start with developing a dynamic vision for their life and for the organization, for whatever it may be. And once we have that, think about how we try and change right now. It's based on this is broke and I'm going to fix it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fun and it's not easy and it's hard and it causes us to put in more effort. So if you have a dynamic, what I call a dynamic vision, I have road mapping tools I take my clients through. If you have a dynamic vision that you've developed for your life, now every shift you make opens up more of that vision to your life. So as we develop that vision, we start stepping into that vision. And I come right out of the gate with that, Russ. And as we start stepping into it throughout the remaining processes within the SMT, it causes us to bump, because we're trying to open up that vision, it causes us to bump up against what's stopping us from getting there.
Mm.
That's what that conditioning is. And each time it does it, I have perception shifting tools and other methods to help people to quickly shift that, put more empowering thoughts in part of it, and start opening up more of that vision in their life. And I'm telling you, I've been a student of these works since I was 22 years old, and I'm a little bit older than that now. and I am amazed at how quickly my clients experience transformation and change in their life. What took me years to do, people are doing in weeks and days.
I'm getting a little like law of attraction vibe from this.
I mean, everything is law of attraction, but it's not like the secret.
Okay.
See, here's one of the things. Here's what's different about SMT method than anything law of attraction. Is everything law of attraction is you think it and then it comes through and you think it and it comes through. And I spent a decade trying to positive think my way into the freaking life I wanted and it never happened. The difference is what's missing in all of that stuff, Russ. I bought the secret. I bought the VHS because I'm that old. I got a book and then I found a study guide and I dove into it for almost a full year and gave it my all. And I was the most positive person in the room, you know, where I went and people would say that, but none of the stuff I desired was happening. Mm. I finally chucked it on, threw it all away. And I said, I'm done. This doesn't work. This positive mindset stuff is BS. But once I understood the subconscious, I understood that part of the positive thinking, the words we use, thoughts we entertain, all of that is critical. Because that's what we're feeding into the subconscious. So if we want to change, we got to do something different there. But it's getting inside that subconscious and dealing with that conditioning that's playing over and over and over again and shifting that. And that's when real change comes about.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I got
to make sense.
It does. It does. But I do feel like I've got to do a podcast on the law of attraction. You know, I've got to find a guest and learn more about that. But because I do feel like one of the flaws of the law of attraction and the secret is that I think even though you're thinking about something and you're, you know, consciously thinking about it, yeah, maybe the subconscious is still telling you no. So you don't fully believe it.
Yeah. And that's a great point too. A lot of times, you know, I'll get people that'll come to me and say, $1 million. I want $1 million in my bank account. And I'll go, why do you want $1 million in your bank account? Well, because then I don't ever have to worry about money again. So I go, hold on. So you want $1 million to overcome your fear. Mm. It doesn't work that way. You know, you want to be happy because you've been miserable for a week and a half. It doesn't work that way. When you're using one to try to overcome the other one, there's a difference in that. When you start getting into looking at, yeah, you know, one of the tools I'll give to your audience right now, one of the tools I tell people is when you get up in the morning, just say, man, I would love, and name it. I've done this where I said, I would love to have a belly laugh today. I'd love to get somebody to buy me lunch. I had a client the other day. He said, I was out and about. And I said, man, I'd love somebody to open a door for me. And he said, the second place he went to, somebody goes, oh, let me get that for you. And went out of their way to open the door. So it's not. And then what I tell them to do is once you name what it is, picture it happening. Like just take a second and just think of like, how are you going to feel when that happens? And then go about it. So I'll give you a, for instance, is when I was working for the last corporation, I already knew a lot of these tools, but I woke up in the morning. I said, man, we were in 350 employees at this company. We were working 1 week out of every month and not even a full week. And then the rest of the time, the doors were closed. So we were right at that very brink of being done once and for all. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a fun place to work. We'd go into meetings 5 days a week with these upper management, which would just be these, excuse my language, bitch sessions and stuff, you know, and it was very hard, very miserable. And I woke up one morning, I go, man, I just want to laugh today, man. It's so down and dark going there. I just want to laugh. And I did what I said. I just kind of pictured it and I could see myself and I'm sure I smiled a little bit and then I just let it go. And I got up, got in the shower, got ready, went into the office. And at lunchtime, I went to jump in my truck, go get something to eat. And one of the guys called me from across the parking lot and he goes, you want to go get lunch together? I go, yeah. I go, where do you want to go? He goes, I don't care. So we just picked a place neither one of us had been. And we went there, you know, an hour later, we came driving back in the parking lot. And I realized I laughed my butt off for us throughout lunch. But I didn't think about it. I didn't try to make right. that happen and manifest it. I just asked. And so as we start working with these tools, mm-hmm. and as we start doing little things like that, you know, people will do it with finding a dollar on the street, finding a good parking spot, right up front at the local store, types of things like that. And once it starts working, we carry that same philosophy into the vision and opening up parts of the vision. So I do 90-day goal sessions, but they're not goal sessions like what we did in corporate work. You know, the corporate world is about where you're setting, what are you going to do over the next 90 days and how you're going to break that down to every action and how you're going to get enough hours to get it all done and all of that. It's based on who do you want to be in 90 days? Where do you want to be in your vision in 90 days from now? It's not about the actions. And we spend so much time spinning our wheels, using up the days, the precious days we have in this lifetime that we never get to repeat, trying to do enough to get to where we want to get to. But it'll never get us there.
Somebody listening right now, they've been listening to you for 25 minutes. They're identifying with you. They're like, okay, I need to reach out to Joey because maybe he can help me. How do they do that?
If you're stuck in life and you're not feeling like you're getting the satisfaction or fulfillment you want, there's other things you can do for that. And one of the things you can do is reach out to me directly at coachwithjoey.com and schedule a 10-minute conversation. We'll jump on the phone, talk about some stuff, get you some tools, find out where you are, and get you some tools to start moving that forward.
You've also got some books out there.
I do. I have a couple of life's lessons, which is about my personal walk and how these tools came to play into it to bring about change in my life. And then I have Align, Manifest, and Transform, which is all about applying these tools and getting some quick changes in your life because of it.
Awesome. Actually, I had those books queued up. I knew I was going to ask you about the books, and then it didn't pop up because I was checking my Slack.
That's that inner voice right there, Russ. It's the inner voice.
Joey, thank you so much for joining me today.
Really enjoyed this, Russ. This is awesome.
And thank you for listening and subscribing to Learning More. We encourage you, and thank you for rating this podcast and sharing it with your friends. As with any podcast that gives medical or legal opinion, the information is not meant to substitute professional advice, and we encourage you to consult a professional to discuss your exact needs. I've got plenty of other shows in the works here, coming out with a new podcast every week. We are going to take Thanksgiving week off, though. So, you know, plan for that. I guess you'll have to spend some family time. Sorry about that. And then a couple weeks off for the holidays as well. But guess what? Every other week, don't worry, you're going to get a new podcast here on Learning More. So make sure you do subscribe. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I'm Russ, and I look forward to learning more with you next time.